Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Gary King, his friends, his family. And we want this to be the best year ever for all our friends and family and loyal listeners worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into Joyce Barry and Friends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is joycebarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever. Folks, we have a very important show today. I would say it ranks up there on things you really need to know to balance your health and well-being. Destructive emotions, it can destroy your health. They can totally negate inner peace and well-being. Amazing author and international inspirational speaker Gary King cautions how destructive emotions can negatively impact you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Today's show will teach you how to balance your emotions so that you can be healthier, happier, and more productive. Gary's book, The Happiness Formula, a bestseller, is the ultimate life makeover. On every topic, he offers real wisdom to create an extraordinary quality of life. This is another piece. to that puzzle. Welcome to the show, my friend Gary King.
Thanks, Joyce. It's always a pleasure to be on your international show. I look forward to it every month. And yes, this topic is an enormous worldwide topic, the topic of destructive emotions. Unfortunately, as a child in school and even as a college student, this subject is not touched on. That's a general comment. But this subject is actually one of the most important subjects in a human life. So here's the thing. Almost every human, no matter where they live or what their age, tries to manage stress, because stress is the order of the day. So consider this. Just think about these things. Think about every day of your life, or think about today and the last 7 days of your life. There's a term called generated impressions. It's a marketing term, and it's been around for a long, long time. And a generated impression is something that you see, hear, or your subconscious mind picks up during the day. And your subconscious mind sees what your eyes don't see. So think about television news. Think about television programming, and think about entertainment in general. Think about the emotions that are generated, again, generated impressions. Think about the emotions that are generated when you watch mainstream entertainment or when you interact during the day. Just think about those for a minute. Think about, and I tested this with myself. I went on to what happens. I mean, I live in Florida. At 8 or 9 o'clock at night are all the international news shows, the one-hour international news show. So I decided to test it on myself. I turned on one of the shows, and it doesn't matter which one. It's not specific to a network. I turned on one of them, and the whole purpose of doing it was to see what emotions were generated by watching the international news. So it had nothing to do with the characters on the show or the dialogue. It had to do with what emotions it generated inside of me. All right, so within 5 minutes, these were the emotions that it generated. Anger, frustration, resentment, revenge. It did not generate any emotions that were warm and fuzzy. It didn't generate any emotions of resolution. It didn't generate any emotions of inner peace or resolve. It generated all the opposite. So I was using myself as just what's called oversight. That's all it was. There was no bias. It was just about the words and what emotions did I feel. Okay. Those emotions, all those emotions right there, if you study those emotions, what you find out medically, if you study them medically, you find out that those emotions produce adrenaline and cortisol. And the more you intake those kinds of emotions, the emotions, the negative emotions, anger, resentment, hatred, all those kinds of things, your body starts overproducing adrenaline and cortisol. When your body starts producing adrenaline and cortisol, it throws your immune system into overdrive. So now your immune system is overdriving. It's trying to manage adrenaline and cortisol. when your immune system does that, it can no longer manage disease. So here is a simple explanation. The human immune system is by design, it is designed to kill cancer cells. By design, it is designed that way. So your immune system will kill cancer cells. But if you stress it out, if you max it out with adrenaline and cortisol, and you take it over the limit, and your immune system goes into overdrive, your immune system can no longer kill cancer cells. So when you think about that, and see, this is not, this information I'm sharing right now, this is not what I, this is not an opinion, a Gary King opinion. This is research and lots of it. There is a book, very powerful book. I've read over 2,200 books, all nonfiction, all related to inspiration, all related to psychology, all related to the human body, behavior, and all those things. This is a book that you don't hear a lot about. There's a reason for it. The title of the book is Deadly Emotions. It's written by a doctor, Dr. Don Colbert. There's many doctors who have written in that book. So there's many statements from doctors in the book related to stress and what stress does to the human body. It's poison is what it is. And every day that we, this is an opinion of mine, and this is also a research of mine. If I go back, I'm 72 years old, even though my voice sounds like I'm 50, so I've been told. If I go back to my childhood, and I go back to entertainment in the 50s and early 60s, whether it be television entertainment or movie theater entertainment, its foundation was in morals, values, and ethics. That was the foundation. Its foundation was not in violence. It was not in misplaced integrity behavior. That's not what it was back then. And then slowly moving forward, it has drifted so far to the production of stress-related generated impressions. So, you know, the latest research that I just did, matter of fact, it is in that book, the average young child, 10-year-old child, by the time they're 10, witnesses 77,000 murders by the time they're 10. Via entertainment. That's staggering. That's absolutely staggering. When I was a child, that was non-existent because it wasn't allowed. So I didn't witness any of that via entertainment.
Gary, excuse me. On the book,
yeah.
Deadly Emotions, I just want to get the name of that author again.
Dr. Don Colbert, spelled C-O-L-B-E-R-T.
Oh, thank you. Got it.
And like I said, in that book, it's not just him. It's many, many other doctors who have quotes in there and have different parts and pieces that are related to the effects of stress on the human body. And it's a topic most humans, most adults know that stress is not good, but that's about all they know. They don't know the specifics that if you research it, stress creates every imaginable physical ailment, and it explains to me stress attacks, creates autoimmune disease. So it explains to me why when I was a child, I was plagued when I was 18, 19 years old. I had rheumatoid arthritis, unheard of typically for 18 or 19-year-olds. That was stress-driven.
I wound up with RSD, reflex sympathetic dystrophy, not treatable, not curable, autoimmune disease. I wound up with tremors at 5 years old, and I was on a conference call yesterday, and I was joking about, yeah, ever since I was a child, people have said, are you an alcoholic? Because your hands shake all the time. No, not an alcoholic. I have tremors because I was publicly shamed when I was a child, so it was the equivalent of an animal being abused and the animal shakes. Well, that's autoimmune. That's part of my autoimmune system. So I'm 72 years old, my hands still shake, and I don't even drink. So that is how powerful it is just on the autoimmune side alone, just on that side.
That is very powerful information, Gary. It's really scary because there are billions of people worldwide battling cancer, battling it
Correct.
For the first time, the second, the third, the fourth,
right.
so
right.
much. I never put it in that perspective that the stress
yeah.
can create the cancer, and without it, being at peace and happy can kill the cancer cells. This is a show everyone has to hear. All of us
yeah.
are either dealing with cancer, have dealt with cancer, or have someone close dealing with
Who
it
is.
Or have dealt with it. Very important show.
So if you just take it, if you take that statement as a core belief, and most people don't have that as a core belief, and that's because the impressions that are generated having to do with cancer, here's the number one generated impression about cancer. It's not curable. So that's the number one generated impression around cancer. So you've heard it your whole life. It's not curable. You find cases where it has been turned around. But when you have a core belief like that, core beliefs are hard to alter. Now, let's say that you had a core belief and it is factual, according to these doctors, that the human immune system does kill cancer cells. It is designed to kill cancer cells. And a cancer cell is a mutated cell. It's not something that gets into your body from the outside world. Okay, your body mutates its own cell, and it mutates into a cancer cell. So once you understand what is factual based on all these doctors, that the human immune system by design will kill cancer cells, then take it to another level. It's talked about that many people have cancer and don't know it. And when they get it, if they're not stressed out all the time, the immune system kills the cancer cells. So it doesn't develop into a symptom. And as you know, many people who are, well, overconscious, let's say they're overconscious, or I'll translate that into fearful. So they're overconscious about their human body, and any ailment, anything that doesn't feel right, they go get checked out. Well, if you go get checked out and a PET scan shows you have you're predisposed. Well, what does that do to your emotions? It puts you in fear. So when you go into a hospital, whether people are in there for diseases or they're in there for physical challenges, broken arms, broken legs, heart attacks, what's the normal human emotion in a hospital with the patients? Fear. That's the normal human emotion, fear. You don't go into a hospital and find a whole bunch of happy people with inner peace. You go into a hospital and you find a whole bunch of people that are fear-driven because their mental process is saying, will I ever recover? Will I ever be the same again? Will I ever be able to be active? Will I ever be able to ride a bike? Will I be able to go back to work? Will I be able to, all those things. Well, all of those things that you roll over in your head back to back create massive stress. And massive stress produces massive adrenaline and massive cortisol. And all of a sudden, you're in a hospital trying to heal, and your body is producing chemicals that keep you from healing. It stresses out your immune system, so your immune system can't do what it was designed to do. It's almost, and of course, then there's a financial part of this as well. You know, there's pharmaceutical companies generate trillions of dollars by supporting the theory that your body won't heal. Your body won't heal. You have to have drugs and all kinds of things to heal your body.
This information, again, Gary, it is so powerful, so relevant. We all know that about the immune system and how it works in your behalf. How many of us really equated the opposite of that, that it can work to your detriment if it's stressed out?
Yeah, well, very few people, because, I mean, if you want to take a combination of the research I've done, the personal, all the presentations I've done and the Q&As I've done all over the world, I mean, here's my professional opinion. In all the presentations I've done and all the research I've done, it is rare to find people who, when asked, have zero stress. That's just pretty much unheard of. And stress is relative, of course. It's relative and it's contextual. But many people's relationships are stressful, love relationships. Many people's parent-child relationships are stressful. According to national statistics in the United States, 80% of the workforce of the United States is stressed out over their job because it's not really what they want to do, it's what they have to do. And when you're doing something you don't want to do and you do it because you have to do it, either financially or the benefits or something, but you don't want to be there, you're generating stress. The whole time you're there, you're generating stress. That's why statistically, when do more heart attacks happen than any other day of the week and in every other hour of the week? 9 a.m. Monday morning, more heart attacks than any other time and day of the week. Well, what does 9 a.m.
I knew about Monday, Gary, but
yeah.
How do they put a time to it? Why would you think that's so? I have heard Monday, never heard a time.
Yeah, it's because that, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock is the typical time that people show up at work. And again, you know, statistics are interesting. On all my Facebook pages, sometimes people call me out. Where did you get those statistics? And I go, the same place you get statistics, online. And there's thousands of statistics online. But what I do is I match them all up. I don't take one source and go, well, that's the main source. There's a lot of them. And when I take 50 sources and they all are saying the same thing, and maybe one source says it's 8 a.m. Monday morning and one says it's 9. The bottom line is it's Monday morning. So we'll just call it Monday morning. And Monday morning is when the typical workforce goes back to work. I mean, of course, there's, you know, people who work on the weekends and things. But, you know, these statements are generalizations, but they fit a huge percentage of the workforce. And when the statistic is 80% of the workforce – doesn't like what they're doing, when you don't like something, it produces stress. And then it usually compounds because you take the stress where? Home with you. Where does the stress go? Into your home environment. And it just magnifies and causes more stress. It goes much deeper than this. If we're already, as human beings, if we're already created, our bodies are designed and created to kill any sickness and disease, but we don't teach that way. That's not what we teach. We teach something very different. And once you develop a core belief, it is very difficult for the average person to change a core belief because it's at their core, and they'll defend it. They'll defend it at all costs. Even if it's completely false or wrong, they're going to defend it anyway because it's in their core. So, you know, there are plenty of people, there's no shortage of people that would oppose the thought that the human immune system is designed to kill cancer cells. There's no shortage of people that would oppose that. And that's their
I want to talk about, destructive emotions.
Yeah.
Stress, anger, frustration, fear. What else would you want to add to that list? Some people have these emotions, and to them, it's a part of daily living. They don't really isolate it and see how impactful in a negative way they can be.
Well, how about this? How about considering that unbeknownst to most people, they have no awareness that stress is addictive. It's an addiction. No different than drug addiction, alcohol addiction. It's no different. The challenge with stress is people are not consciously aware that stress is an addiction like drugs and alcohol, but it is. It is an addiction. Now, let me give you a reference for that. Why would a person, the average television watching time is 6 to 7 hours a day. That's the average amount of time that people spend watching television. Well, most, not all, of television programming, the whole basis for the program is driven by anxiety and fear. So think about all the cop shows, all the violent programs. Those programs, the bottom line to those programs is anxiety.
And people
love
them.
People who are watching them are watching anxiety. So it's like the fuel, the food they're taking in is anxiety. But when asked, they'll say it's entertaining. Okay. So remember, 90% of the human body, 90% of the mind is subconscious and 10% is conscious. So the subconscious mind is feeding on anxiety. And what happens? The subconscious mind gets addicted to anxiety. Now, when you look at the, and I'm just going to, I don't do politics, all right? But as an example, look at the anxiety.
Yes.
Look at the anxiety that politics has created. In general, look at the anxiety it's created. Look at what's happening to people. They are feeding on the anxiety. They're feeding on it. All right? Well, when you feed on anxiety, you get addicted to anxiety. And when you get addicted to anxiety, the end result is you start processing it. It's like I said, I tested myself. I'm neutral. I tested myself. What emotions, I can write them down. What emotions will I feel, irregardless of my my free will choice? It has nothing to do with that. The idea is no matter which news program I turn on, it creates anxiety, it creates frustration, it creates resentment. Doesn't matter which program I'm watching, they're all doing the same thing. They're all generating those kinds of emotions. Well, consequently,
I just want to say one thing, Gary, because the political climate is at its all-time peak in my lifetime, the negativity that's there every minute. And I just want to say we're not getting into the political aspects or at all.
No.
But I do know that people have told me that go in liquor stores. I don't drink, so I'm not in a liquor store. But people have told me that the liquor salespeople are saying their sales are at an all-time high on drinking.
Oh,
the psychiatrists
absolutely.
Are saying it's at an all-time high. Every conversation, it used to be about personal issues. Everyone's talking about the upset, the agenda with Trump. So no matter where you turn, people are really having a hard time because on top of personal challenges, we're dealing with national and global challenges like nowhere except for world wars that we can even remember.
Well, you know, historically, if you go back to the Depression era of, what was it, 29?
The
20s. Alcohol sales skyrocketed. Okay?
Yes.
And see, this goes back to this exact what I'm referring to. So here you go. You have magnified stress. You have compounded stress. How do people manage stress? Here's how they manage it. Self-medication. Okay, now self-medication for stress and anxiety can be pharmaceuticals, right? It can be going to a psychiatrist or going to a doctor and getting a prescription for something that offsets anxiety and stress. It can be recreational drugs. Example in the state of Ohio, the state is currently suing 4 pharmaceutical companies because, and I'm pretty sure this is the correct quote, I believe 4,000 people have died in the state of Ohio taking opiates, pharmaceutical drugs. So the state of Ohio is suing 4 pharmaceutical companies. Well, that's called managing effects. They're trying to manage the effects. And that's what most people are doing. They're trying to manage the effects. Whenever you run out, you're stressed out. It's like me. I'll give you a perfect real-time example. This just happened to me. And I am my number one experiment, me. So I have PTSD. And I have a pretty bad case of PTSD, but I know how to manage it. So my neighbors of 25 years, who are very close to me, they're at their closing on their house right now while I'm on this call. They're at their closing. I will never see them again. They're moving to North Carolina. And I've been very close to them for 25 years. All right. Yesterday, the last 3 days, I knew it was coming. I started to get stressed out. I started to feel the PTSD starting to kick in. So Vicky, my manager, I'm in the middle. I'm almost done with my second book. That's why she was here. Well, I had to stop with her in the car. I had to stop and run into a Walgreens and buy candy. And I joked with her in the car. I said, I don't typically do this. The reason I'm doing it is because I feel the anxiety of the PTSD coming on. And what is sugar? Short-term gratification. So I needed something to, in the short term, change me emotionally. So I go for sugar. I don't do this routinely, but that's what was happening. And it wasn't me consciously doing it. It was subconscious. It was I need something to change the way I feel. So stress and anxiety, and everyone who's listening to this relates to stress and anxiety. I'll make a bold statement. There is no one on this show that has zero relationship to stress and anxiety, because all humans starting at childhood feel stress and anxiety, especially in the 21st century. I mean, our school system, they're factories for stress and anxiety. That's what they're doing. You go to school and you're going to be stressed out. That's just the bottom line. You're not going to leave a school day feeling tons of inner peace and joy. That's just kind of an oxymoron.
Yes. It's really very sad about people getting stressed out. I'm thinking of the ones where they don't have it in their control. I'm thinking of husbands and wives that fight
right.
like crazy, that
That's
one
right.
or the other feels trapped, but they don't leave the relationship. So what do you advise people that are trapped in a relationship, that they can't leave it for whatever reason?
That's a very, very interesting and powerful question. Okay. First of all, many people that I know personally and many people that I've met internationally are in those very relationships where they feel, to use your term, trapped, which is another word for codependent.
Yes.
They're codependent.
Yes.
Codependencies, the origin of codependency is childhood. That's the origin. Because when you're a child, you are, in fact, codependent. If you're 5 years old, you're codependent. If you weren't codependent, there'd be a problem. And then it shifts to independence as you get older. But the fact of the matter is the underlying current, the underlying emotion is codependency. So you carry it forward with you in your subconscious. All right. People get in relationships, and what happens to them is, it goes back to the segment I did on divergent thinking. When a person gets trapped and they don't divergent think, they get to a point where they fall into learned helplessness and learned hopelessness because they can't see any way out of the corner they've painted themselves into. And what happens when you get painted into a corner, it produces more and more and more stress, which produces more and more adrenaline and cortisol, which produces anger and resentment, and your immune system crashes. And so what the person is doing is they're letting their emotions go into free fall. So their emotions don't have any way of looking at the emotions from the outside. So their emotions go into free fall. Almost everyone does this. So your emotions, you just get on this emotional downward spiral, which is what depression is. It's an emotional downward spiral. Depression in the United States is at epidemic proportion. It's completely out of control. And depression is just a byproduct of stress and anxiety. Well, in order to get out of it, you have to, first of all, you have to have a consciousness of it. You can't solve anything until you have a consciousness of what it is you're trying to solve. There's too many people are trying to manage the effects of their life rather than the cause. So if you're in an upside-down relationship and you're in it, I can tell you, people in upside-down relationships are in it because they don't have any self-worth, or their self-worth is very low. Because if you have self-worth, you will immediately get out of the relationship. I mean, I left a 25-year environment where I was compensated on a regular basis, but there started to become complications in my environment. I started to notice a lack of conscience. I started to notice a lack of ethics and integrity. And I said to myself, if I stay here, the stress is going to increase until I get sick. Well, sure enough, the last event that I worked at, I got shingles, vertigo, and tendonitis in both ankles, all simultaneous, all at the event, and those are all stress-driven. And I went, this is it. I can't do this anymore. If I stay, I will ultimately die is what will happen. So I left. Well, the average person won't do that, and they won't do that because their emotions are telling them that they have no options. And divergent thinking says there's 100 solutions to any one given problem. That is not the way humans are taught, at least not in Western cultures. They're not taught that way. If you were taught when you were a child, there's 100 solutions to every problem, well, every time you run across a problem in the road, a rock in the road, there's 100 solutions. There may be 200 solutions. Most people don't look at life like that because they don't have the emotional tools to do that. If immediately when you were stressed out, you started asking yourself questions, what's the origin of the stress? Where does it originate from? Well, you know where it originates from. The challenge is you don't do anything about it. And the reason you don't do anything about it is we are not taught to manage our emotions. We are taught to let our emotions go into free fall. And as soon as they go into free fall, it's self-destructive.
Gary, when you say it's a lot about ego, self-esteem, that a person stays in the relationship, I'm thinking
yeah.
about many cases, husband and wife, where the wife will say, I'm so dependent on him, I can't afford to pay for the house and the payments
right.
and the repairs. I can't.
Yes.
What do you tell people that are a prisoner in their home and they say
yeah.
that they can't get out? I've heard cases like
well,
that. What do you tell
well,
them?
Well, it goes back to something real simple, but it's also very contextual, Joyce. So I'll give you a general statement. Whenever you say you can't, that's just a simple, whenever you keep repeating, I can't, I can't, I can't, well, the first thing where that information goes is into your subconscious. And once you introduce that into your subconscious, that's why children learn to have low self-worth because that's the way they're brought up. They're brought up in an environment where they're constantly criticized, they're constantly judged, and they're constantly told you have to be better than who you currently are. Well, what do you think happens? I mean, adults are just children in big bodies. That's all we are. That's why that one of the number one emotional one of the number one emotional issues with adults is the issue of abandonment. That's because it is deep in their subconscious. Think about it this way. If you're 5 years old and you're left on the side of the road, you have a serious abandonment issue. If you're 45 years old and you're left on the side of the road, you do not have a serious abandonment issue. But because you were conditioned that way, and that's the very thing. People get in a relationship, and they get into it for the wrong reasons to begin with. If you enter into a relationship because you are...
I'm talking about parents and children. I'm talking about siblings, not the obvious where you got in the wrong relationship, and you got
okay.
in it, you get out of it. I'm talking about where you can't.
So you're referring to when you are a child under 18?
No. I know of cases where siblings, it's like poison, and they live together. I'm referring to where it's unimaginable stress, one inflicting on the
right.
other, but they
right.
live together.
Yeah, well, it goes back to the same issue, whether it's siblings, man and wife, it goes back to the same issue. The issue is an emotional issue. It's not a physical issue. It's an emotional issue. So what I did, because I use me as an example, I walked away from a 25-year substantial income to zero. The reason I could do that is because I've developed my self-worth. And when you develop your self-worth and you're a divergent thinker, I knew that no matter what happened, I would be able to land right side up. Because if I stayed where I was in a self-destructive environment that I could not manage the people around me. I couldn't get the people around me to change. So I had to change. But what happens with people naturally is they get themselves in a position, whether it's a relationship or a living situation or a job, where they fall into learned helplessness and learned hopelessness. In order to break the cycle, you must first realize that you are caught in a cycle, and it's more than likely an addiction. You are addicted to stress, and you don't realize it's an addiction. So you're in a relationship, and you have an addiction to the abuse. You have an addiction to the whatever it is that goes on in there that's unhealthy. You have an addiction to it. It's the only thing you know. So you're attracted to the only thing you know. See, life, what happens on the outside world is only a reflection of the inside world. So whatever happens around you is a reflection of, I see people, silly example. I get in a person's car and there's 20 old McDonald's wrappers. There's everything all over the floor, all over everywhere. Or you walk in somebody's house and every single inch of space in the house is covered with something. What do I instantly know? That's a reflection of what goes on inside their head. So their head is so full of stuff that it falls into the outside world. It's an old metaphor I created when I went through my near-death experience. I called it the closet metaphor. You have a closet in your house or a drawer, and you keep stuffing stuff in there that you don't want to deal with. And one day, the closet door, you open it to stuff something in there, and there's so much stuff in there, you got to put your back against the door and slam it shut because the pressure's too great. And one day, the next time you open the door, well, there's too much pressure, the door flies open, and you're buried in 35 years of stuff that you put in that closet. Well, metaphorically, that's a giant metaphor for what you've stuffed into your brain, all the things you don't deal with. Well, spiritual law says when you're underneath a pile of all that stuff, all those emotions, you got to take them and start discarding them. You got to sift through them and go, where did I learn to believe what I'm believing about the relationship I'm in, that I can't survive without the man, or I can't survive without the woman, can't survive without the money, I can't survive without the whatever it is. In most cases, you can survive just fine.
Very, very, very important points well taken. But as we're winding down, I have some questions for you. But before we do that, I want you folks to know why you should be listening to this show every day. If you're acknowledging the value in this one, we have many, many others that will profoundly impact your life. Here's why.
Listen to me. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day. A way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy, make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce Barry and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we do ask you to participate with us in having that happen. Simply go to JoyceBarryandFriends.com, B-A-R-R-I-E, JoyceBarryandFriends.com, and on the upper left of the homepage, right under my picture, it says follow. And just by clicking on that, you will know about every show, every guest, every topic. You need not miss any of them, because when you can't join us when we are live at 11 a.m. Eastern, you can download any of the shows, play them anytime, send out the links anytime. So we invite you to do that. Gary's website, your official website is GaryKing.com.
No, my official website is GaryKingLive.com.
I wasn't sure because I've heard both from you. So the official is GaryKingLive.com. You want to check that website out as well. Gary, how do we balance our emotions? We've been talking about the destruction, how they affect us physically, mentally, emotionally. How can we balance our emotions?
Well, before you can solve anything, you must be conscious of the situation. So most people, like I was saying, their emotions are in free fall. That just simply means all day long, when their mind is not engaged in a process, it's typically in free fall. So it's contemplating all the things that aren't working. I mean, when I do therapies with people and I go, tell me where you'd like to be 1 year from now, and I don't mean geographically. Where would you like to be 1 year from now? And here's what they do. 90% of people do this. Well, I don't want to be in the relationship I'm in. I certainly don't want to be in the job I'm in. And I go, wait, let me rephrase the question. Tell me what you want. You just gave me a list of things you didn't want. That's because their emotions are in free fall, and they put all their energy into what they don't want. Remember, anybody that's in a situation that isn't working and they lack self-worth, they will defend the position they're in. They'll defend it. So if they're in a broken relationship and they lack self-worth, which broken relationships are based on lack of self-worth, they'll defend their position by saying, you don't understand, I can't survive financially without the person who's abusing me. Well, if you can't, you can't, because that's what you're telling yourself, you can't. I have people tell me, I can't find a job. Are you telling me there are no jobs, or you're telling me you can't find one? My lawn man makes $360 an hour, okay? And it's tax-free. The guy who cuts my lawn. So there's another problem. There's a lot of jobs that are beneath people who it's beneath them. When you're a leader in the world, nothing is beneath you. So, you know.
Gary, I just want to move on because we have so little time left. I wanted to ask you, do you meditate? I'm wondering if you would consider meditation a great tool to balance one's emotions.
I typically intellectually recommend that. For me, I'm interesting because I'm extremely analytical. And they can't do an EEG on me because my mind doesn't shut up. So it's impossible for me to meditate. But what I do, which is more powerful anyway for me,
I use hypnosis CDs. I use Paul McKenna, number one hypnotist in Europe. He has a whole series of 32-minute hypnosis CDs. A powerful one is I Can Change Your Life in 7 Days. It's 32 minutes long. You get instant results from that. If you have trouble meditating, use hypnosis because it's
what about
dramatic.
Hypnotherapy? Do you believe in that?
Oh, absolutely.
By a professional?
Yeah. See, there's two kinds of hypnotherapy. There's clinical hypnotherapy and there's hypnotists. Hypnotists typically do stop smoking, weight loss, things like that.
Yes.
Clinical hypnotherapists are psychologists who understand your own personal psychological issues. And so a clinical hypnotherapist is what I recommend because they're going to have the most impact. So if you just think about it this way, 90% of human behavior is controlled by your subconscious mind. Only 10% of your life is free will choice. That's all. People can dispute it all they want. They can research it. 90% of human behavior is subconscious, which simply means the subconscious does not rationalize. It does not know the difference between good, bad, right, wrong, up, down. It doesn't know that.
So 90% is what's controlling your behavior.
That's correct.
10%, which is the conscious level, kind of is
right.
Like in the back seat.
Yeah, that's what you call in computer terms. The subconscious mind is the operating system. The conscious mind is the RAM, random access memory. That's what you use when you're working on a computer. You can only get out of a computer what's in it. So if a computer is filled with all kinds of information that is based on low self-worth, well, then that's the only thing you're going to get out of it. I don't care how hard you try. And
so getting
what
back to
is,
the source
yeah,
of destructive
yeah.
emotions, the source,
mm-hmm.
that would be
yeah.
the negativity around you, whether it's the TV, whether it's your relationship.
Yeah.
It could come from
sure.
anywhere.
Sure, because if you just use the marketing term generated impressions are designed to modify human behavior. That's what they're designed to do. So every impression you see all day long is designed to modify your behavior. So when you're a child, the impressions that are generated are you're wrong, you're bad, you're going to get punished, you shouldn't have done that. Your scores in school aren't high enough, you should be making A's, you're making D's. Those are all called generated impressions, and they all create human behavior. That's what they're doing. We're just not taught that way.
Gary, what message do you want to leave our audience today? What would be the most important message as we sum up this whole show?
Well, the most important message is identify the top three sources of stress in your life. Write them down on a piece of paper. The top three things that cause you the most stress, and then take those things and look for solutions, because there's many solutions to the things that cause stress. And look and see if there is a possibility that you have an addiction that you've had for a very long time. You're addicted to adrenaline. That's why people watch stressful TV. They're addicted to adrenaline. And identify
I'm addicted to having you as our guest on our show, Gary. Once again, you aced it, drove it out of the ballpark. Love having you on the show. There's very few people that I invite to be a regular. You're one of them. So I'm very grateful for you and your words of wisdom.
Good.
Folks,
Thank you.
Want to wrap it up by offering my special prayer for all of you. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortune,
misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day. It is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. And folks, make someone happy today. We invite you to be happy along with us, to sing along with us, to dance along with us and laugh along with us, and you can do that right here, right now, starting with the Joyce Barry Mash. Thank you.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop, I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the mash.
The Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun.
Wow.
She's a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
You can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Joyce Barry Mash.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Do the Joyce Barry Mash.
Wow.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.